T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is The Drive on KFH.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to a Friday edition of The Drive, February 8th. Bob Lutz and Jamin Anderson in the co-host chair today, along with Tom Thurber, who engineers the show. Max Power is the producer. It's our A-team, except for Jamin. Jamin, how are you today?
I'm doing well. For a member of the B-team, I'm doing outstanding.
That's a really ingratiating way to introduce you, isn't it?
I'm used to it by now.
From me?
No, from anyone.
Just from life.
That's a member. Yeah, actually.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
That's a good point. Tell
our listeners a mini biography of Jamin Anderson.
Well, I've lived up here in Wichita for 18 years now. I had a radio show on these airwaves with Jeff for about 6.5 years called Just Saying with Jeff and Jamin. That was on
Saturdays. A very much missed show, by the way.
I'd like to think so. The chorus of dozens would agree with me, but
I think you had a decent little listenership.
We had a good run. You don't find out until you're done, and then everybody comes out of the woodwork to tell you that they listened to you. I've just been a lifelong sports fan and big Shocker fan. And
another one of those younger guys that I butt heads with quite often, because you feel like you see the sports world with 100% clarity, whereas guys like me have been around a lot longer and probably have a little more insight, but that falls on deaf ears with people like you.
I disagree. I think you're going to lump me in with your regular co-host, and that's incorrect. I think I don't have any kind of concrete evidence, but when we have shared this show, the three of us, I have sided with you as often as I have with Jeff.
Well, that's
good to
hear.
So I don't think you can lump me in so easily. I'm an old soul, so don't call me one of those young whippersnappers.
That's good to hear, and that does soothe my soul a little bit. All right, we have a really good show today. Richard Justice from MLB.com will join us at 4:25. Why are we talking a little baseball the last couple of days? Step outside, that's why.
Yep.
Brutally cold.
It's time for baseball,
it
apparently.
It is.
Yeah.
Joanna Chadwick from Vibe Magazine will join us at 4:45 with her weekly segment to talk about high school basketball, some of the good games in the area tonight. One I'm actually going to tonight down in Hayesville, Mays and Campus.
Is that going to be a good one, you think?
Yeah, the Mays is excellent. I think they're undefeated. Campus has a really good club, coached by my friend Chris Davis. So looking forward to seeing that one a little bit later this evening. At 5:25, Wichita legend Greer Jones will join the show. He has announced today that this will be his final season as the head men's golf coach at Wichita State. And Greer's been around a long, long time. Of course, played on the PGA Tour, has coached at Wichita State for more than 20 years. So we'll catch up with Greer at 5:25. And at 5:40, our five questions guest is former Wichita Heights girls basketball coach Kip Pulliam. Pulliam is what I call him, not Pulliam, which is probably the correct pronunciation, but Pulliam. So good job by Jeff. He did line that up before taking the day off because he wanted to spend time with his cats.
Yeah, that's really what we found out, isn't it? Yeah.
He puts it out there.
What a high priority that you've got in his life here when he's putting Nettie the cat is above you.
And I feel so bad for those three other cats because he never tweets a picture of them.
No, never posts them. It's Nettie or bust at this point.
And I can't stand that, honestly.
Yeah.
If I had two or three dogs, and trust me, I've thought about it.
Right.
There would be no favorite. They would get equal love, equal treatment, equal attention. because that's what they deserve.
Yeah, I'm not sure what his fascination is with the one cat.
Do you have dogs?
Two.
Two dogs.
Two. No cats.
Okay, do you have a favorite amongst the two? Be honest.
Yes, I do.
Oh, no. That's...
But hear me out. It's because one of them was not of my choosing. So I don't have any skin in the game on.
Well, so the dog just arrived on your doorstep.
Essentially, yes. Taken in by somebody that shall not be named.
Your kid? So, one of your kids?
No.
Your wife?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Not good. Not good. Was now the dog was it a stray is now the dog,
dog
is 10. Yeah. Base. Yes. And the dog is 10 now, and is cranky. And persnickety, and not, I'm just not a fan.
I've not had that experience. The two dogs my wife and I have had have just been incredible dogs. So I haven't had that experience with, as you would say, a persnickety, aloof.
No, not aloof.
Well,
not
persnickety
just, okay,
and.
Okay, all right. I probably didn't term that correctly. More sensitive than anything else. The washer, the washer and the dryer and the thunderstorms and the any noises.
Well,
you gotta
take care of that dog.
Trust me, it's being taken care of.
You're irritated by what you see as a little weakness.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Absolutely.
This poor dog was a stray. How do you know what happened to her?
How much can happen in 6 months of life? The 2-year-old lab, nothing bothers the 2-year-old lab. He's too dumb to be bothered. I appreciate that. That's more in line with my thinking.
Well, my previous dog, Tinker, who passed away 2 years and 3 months ago or whatever it's been, was mostly blind.
Right.
Couldn't see hardly at all. And was scared to death of thunderstorms. But we didn't view him as a weak one. I mean, come on.
Okay. Now, I'm a little heartless, I guess. I don't know.
Now, Misty, the dog we have now, is not scared of thunder, but heavy and high winds bother her.
That's to the point where
she's just a wreck, but she doesn't like wind.
That's bizarre.
Now you're calling my dogs weak.
Wrong state to live in. The dog could pick a different state to live in.
Tell her that. I'll send her after you.
Please.
And
do.
Tommy's got a little puppy that's a little bit frightened at times, right? But apparently we own weak dogs, Tom.
I don't know how I got painted into that corner. This is why I show up, so I can be painted
as a
villain.
Who paints people into corners better than me?
You do it very well.
I take one slice of information,
yep,
and I brand you with the most negative.
I'm not sure why I'm surprised, honestly.
Yeah.
I should have been ready for that the minute I walked in. That's my fault. That's on me. And then you turn it around and make the person feel that it's their fault.
Master class. Jeff still hasn't figured it out.
I've at least got it figured out, but I walked right into that. I just walked into it.
Beautiful. That's a beautiful job of manipulation.
Well done.
By yours truly. Now, I know you love the NBA,
mm-hmm,
and this has been a wild week in the NBA. And I said yesterday on this show, and it's just been accentuated today with the LeBron, mm-hmm, talk and Kevin Durant not wanting to talk to reporters. And,
mm-hmm,
This is nothing but a glorified soap opera.
Absolutely.
In the NBA.
Absolutely.
That makes me not like it.
I don't like the soap opera part, but I love the activity. I think the baseball trade deadline would kill to have a deadline as active as the NBA's was one Wednesday. I mean,
we'd kill to have a hot stove season.
Right, exactly.
That active.
And so you've got, the NBA has cornered the market on that kind of player movement, player activity. Everybody's talking about free agency and contracts and opting in and opting out and who will re-sign where and who won't re-sign where. And I'm not necessarily saying that I love that about the NBA, but in the middle of a season that stretches from November to June, we are discussing the NBA in a time period that would otherwise be kind of dead, right? I mean, this is like the dog days of a baseball season.
Yeah,
this
the NBA can kind of fade into the background at this time of the year, but it did get a boost from all the activity. You're right. And it gets a boost from the media with right. all the soap opera stuff.
Absolutely.
The media eats this stuff up.
But
I wish they'd stop. Who cares where Kevin Durant is going to be in June
right.
or July?
It matters where he is now. I agree. Who cares about Kyrie Irving or Anthony Davis? They are where they are. And I agree with that portion of it. But what I really liked was all of the moves, at least all of the major moves, I thought made sense for everybody involved. I thought there were some really smart trades made by all of the major players.
Milwaukee's
move. Got
better. Philadelphia sacrificed to win right now.
Toronto got Marc Gasol. I mean, you had...
Indiana didn't do anything.
Well, with Oladipo gone, they weren't going to make
a run. They're still third in the East.
Yeah, but they knew, I think, the tea leaves. They knew they weren't going to make anything. Boston didn't really do anything. But, and of course, Davis is still there. But, I mean, the teams that did make moves... the Kings got Harrison Barnes from Dallas. I mean, everybody made a move that sort of made sense for them. And I thought that was outstanding. That was some smart, there was some smart front office work going on.
You know, there was a lot of activity, but the Western Conference, especially the front runners, didn't do a whole lot. No. Golden State, Denver, Oklahoma City, Portland, Houston made a minor deal.
Well, I think that's an admission by everybody that knows that Golden State's going to win the West. I think that was an admission by, for instance, Portland or even Denver. We have especially Denver, they have a young core of players that are improving, and they're going, well, if we just wait it out, we'll be the favorites next year because Durant will go to the Eastern Conference. And the Warriors will not be as good, and so we can maybe fill the void. So I think all the teams in the West went,
but they won. They won titles without Durant.
One,
right?
With no Kyrie.
But they
Kyrie
were in the finals.
No Kyrie and no Kevin.
Right.
Love.
But they were also in the finals without Durant.
And lost.
Right.
So I think everybody's going. They're at least beatable.
Is Cousins back with them next year?
No.
So he's
a free agent.
Too.
See, that's the problem.
And what about Klay Thompson? Isn't he also?
He is
a
unrestricted.
Free agent?
So the Warriors could look totally different a year from now. So I think the teams in the West went, let's wait and see how it goes. But the teams in the East went, we don't have LeBron to deal with anymore. This is a free-for-all. Anybody can make the finals out of the East this year that's in the top four or five. So let's make
Who's in the best position in the Western Conference to displace Golden State next season?
Denver. Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic, they've got all the young players. They've got... no guys leaving in free agency that are important.
What about Dallas?
They're
way down.
They need a healthy Porzingis, and they need one more guy, I would think. You can't rely on just Doncic and Porzingis to carry you.
But, boy, what a tandem.
It's great. It's good for them. But they traded Harrison Barnes to
right.
open up a max salary spot to try to chase somebody. If they get Klay Thompson or Kyrie Irving, I mean, I just pick a name free agent. If they get that guy... they could challenge. But I think right now, as it stands, I would pick Denver.
And Sacramento's not in a bad spot right now, are they?
Not at all. Not at all. You have De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley Jr. and Willie Cauley-Stein. And, of course, now they added Harrison
Barnes. Buddy Hield. Don't forget
Buddy
my
Hield.
Man Buddy Hield.
They're young and have nowhere to go but up. And they're challenging for, what, the 8th spot, the 7th spot at this point?
And then you've got the potential in the East to have – let's say the semifinal playoff matchups between Philadelphia and Milwaukee and Toronto Boston. I mean, that's just fantastic.
That's
now the
incredible.
Rest of the East is pretty blah.
Yeah, but those top four, anybody could go.
The top four are outstanding.
Well, and Zach Lowe from ESPN wrote about this a couple days ago, that those final four, let's just say they make it, the losers of those semifinals, whoever those two teams are, they're going to have some serious soul-searching to do because they could look around and go, well, if you're Toronto.
They're losing Kawhi.
And you lose Kawhi, and you go.
And Marc Gasol is. Did you see Fred VanVleet had 30 the other night?
Without
Every time
without
I
Leonard playing,
watch
yep.
him, I just want to grab Doug Gottlieb because I'm not right about much, But in my little mini feud with Doug Gottlieb a few years ago that really started, it was centered around his adamant view that Fred VanVleet was a nice college player and nothing more. Now, I didn't even see Fred VanVleet doing this. I mean, it's to me, he's one of the best stories in the whole league.
He's a starting point guard for a dozen NBA teams. He's backing up Kyle Lowry mostly, but he started the other night.
He's starting him.
And he's starting alongside Kyle Lowry, but he's the point guard, the starting point guard on at least a dozen teams. And I remember having a conversation with my dad at the time that Baker and VanVleet were going into the NBA together. And most people regarded Baker as the superior NBA prospect.
Yes.
And I actually argued with my dad in that vein. I said, Baker is a bigger, taller player.
More physical.
Who can probably play point guard in the NBA or a backup point guard role, whereas VanVleet is 5'11". He's going to struggle to get his shot. I mean, this was generally the consensus. I wasn't stupid for thinking it. In hindsight, it's really dumb. And of course, he reminds me of that constantly. Every time VanVleet has a good game, I get a text from my dad saying, I told you. So
now playing 27 minutes per game, he's averaging 10.7 points and 4.6 assists. That's just remarkable. And I think his numbers will just continue to go up because I think his playing time will go up. Now, here's a guy that's only shooting 40.5% from the field. Shooting has never been... Think right. about this. This is a, what, 5'11 guy?
Right.
Who doesn't have great quickness, doesn't shoot extraordinarily well.
Right.
Yet, he's made himself... What is it
did
with
you
Fred?
Did you watch his...
I've watched him so much. I try to watch him every time Toronto plays.
I would go back and
bit.
Watch the highlights of the 30-point game. Because I went and watched the highlights, and I saw most of his baskets. What he was doing at Wichita State against 6'8 Valley big men was he was getting into the lane and scoring over them with regularity. And somebody like Doug Gottlieb went, well, those are 6'8 Valley big men.
Right.
He can't do that. He's doing it now over 7-foot legitimate NBA centers and power forwards. I mean, he's scoring at the basket at 5'11 better than I can't really think of anybody else in the. I mean, body control, strength, ability to finish
Wizardry.
With both hands. He made a couple of left-handed, into contact.
He's
one of them was an
and
one. But he's doing it at the highest level you can possibly do it now. And I looked this up the other night because I was curious. He's the fourth Wichita State player to ever score 30 points in an NBA game.
Is that right?
Can you name the other three?
Xavier McDaniel,
yes.
Antoine Carr.
Yes.
And I would say probably Dave Stallworth.
Correct. Cliff Levingston had 29 in a game, and Maurice Evans had 27.
There you go.
I mean, look at the company. He's already passed those two in terms of...
That's a pretty good nugget.
That's crazy.
Well, my son would never have that nugget.
Well,
no offense, Jeff, and good luck with your cats. But that's the kind of stuff that I'm talking about.
Well, I texted him to ask him if he knew how many there were before I...
I thought you were going to say he texted you with that information.
No. That did come from my research. But, I mean, think about that. X, Stallworth, Carr, VanVleet.
He's great at the angles. And basketball is in many ways a game of angles. And he understands the angles to the game of basketball. He knows how to get by people based just on where their feet are. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He just understands. It's almost, it's a little bit eerie how good he is at that kind of stuff. When you don't have to be the quickest guy, you're
right.
not the tallest guy, you're not the best shooter.
Right.
Yet he's made himself into a key part of the Toronto Raptors, of a legitimate Eastern Conference contending
team.
Yeah,
we could see Fred VanVleet playing important minutes in the finals, guarding Steph Curry.
Right.
Okay, so go back 4 or 5 years, Fred VanVleet, junior or senior at Wichita State, and tell somebody that in 5 years he has a chance to be in the NBA Finals, starting potentially, and guarding the best shooter in the game.
Yeah.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
It's remarkable.
That's crazy.
And it's something that, man, kudos to Wichita State for producing Fred VanVleet and getting him to the league and all the success that he's enjoying. And I think we're going to see similar stuff from Landy Shamet.
Oh,
I would expect
having
the Clippers
a great year.
To have a good off season, and for Landry to be on a contending team in the West next year. I think the Clippers have a chance.
We could have VanVleet and Shamet playing with Kawhi Leonard in back-to-back years.
Right.
That seems likely. And with their young core, they got a nice little haul for Tobias Harris. They got first-round picks and Shamet. And if they get Kawhi and another piece, that's a up-and-coming team in the West as well. I think one of the most remarkable things about Greg Marshall's run at Wichita State has been how regularly he's produced NBA players and good NBA players.
Yeah.
And guys that have had a chance to be good. That's not something you see. Name, you know, how many Gonzaga guys are in the NBA right now?
Have to look.
Kelly Olynyk?
Is he still in the league,
but he's not playing much.
I think they had a guy or two from the most recent couple of rosters.
Yeah, Zach Collins is on the team.
I'd have to look.
But, I mean, to be at a level where those guys came out of the Valley, not the American. So that was pretty remarkable, I think.
All right, we need a break. And when we return, we'll turn our attention and our conversation toward baseball. Richard Justice, MLB.com. He'll have some thoughts about Frank Robinson. He covered the Baltimore Orioles when he worked at the Washington Post, and Frank was the manager in Baltimore. Back in a minute, you're listening to Bob Lutz, Jamin Anderson, The Drive on KFH.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.